Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, if you can open your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we're going to be covering verses 18 through 25. And I titled this, Why God's Wrath? In Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 14, it says this, Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 15, he says, Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of and wrath of Almighty God. And we see the wrath of God to the unbeliever, the unrighteous, the ungodly. And if you recall in comparison, last week we discussed the righteousness of God being revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Knowing that we have received the gift of salvation and are considered righteous because of our faith, because we believe and we trust in Jesus. Certainly not of anything we did, as all our works amount to nothing but dirty rags. So let us read through these verses and then we'll discuss them. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds, and four-footed animals, and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness, in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we thank you that you just share everything with us. You tell us the truth, Father. You tell us about the righteousness we can receive through your Son. You tell us about the wrath of those who will not receive your Son and those who ignore everything that you've shown us. Father, we ask you to be with us today, to fill us with your Spirit. Help us not only to understand your word, but, Father, to take it in our hearts and abide in it. We thank you for everything you do, Lord. And we ask you to bless this time we do have together. In Jesus' name. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now previously, as I mentioned, we discussed the righteousness of God and how we contrast that now with the wrath of God. The wrath of God revealed against us, first, the ungodly, the ungodliness, and second, the unrighteousness of men. So let's take a look at those two. If you recall, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, he had two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments on them. The first tablet of stone was the first four commandments that dealt with man's relationship with God. In Exodus chapter 20, starting in verse 3, it says this, You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself carved images, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. And he went on in verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but on the Sabbath day of the Lord your God, in it you shall do no work. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And the seventh day, therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, for he rested. So he says, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. You shall not make any graven images. You shall not take the name of the Lord God in vain, and remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. So a violation of these first four commandments would constitute a relationship, a wrong relationship with God, which is ungodliness. Continuing on in Exodus 20, on verse 12, it says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which your Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, your neighbor's wife, the male servant, the female servant, or anything that is of your neighbor's. That second tablet of stone dealing with man's relationship with fellow man. And to violate a law on that second tablet of stone is not living the right kind of life that we should be living with our neighbor. And thus it constitutes unrighteousness, a wrong relationship with our neighbor. The wrath of God is to be revealed against the ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who hold the truth of God, but they hold it in unrighteousness. Having and knowing is not enough. James brought this out. In James chapter 1, verse 22, he said, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see it today, people are deceiving themselves because they have learned the word, they've heard the word, they know it, they know God's commands, and yet they ignore them and turn from them. Jesus gave us two commandments when he came that covered all the law. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, he said, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment, addressing that first tablet of law's ungodliness. The second commandment Jesus gave us in verse 31 of Mark chapter 12. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. This covering of the second tablet of laws, as we see, some hold the truth of God, but unfortunately, they hold it in unrighteousness. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. That recognition that God is giving you, not only the land for the Jews, but the long life, the prosperity, everything. And the only way for a child to recognize that is for the parents to teach them the word of God, to share God's word with them. And there needs to be discipline when that happens. Because remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You shall not murder. And you can see it today, everybody being desensitized to the sanctity of life, the abortion, the anti-Semitism, where it's okay to kill and even encouraged if you don't believe in the people. And we saw that on October 7th, if you recall. People being murdered, women raped, and children tortured and killed in the name of a religion that hates a Jewish people. And I believe that'll be focused on us someday, if not sooner than later. You should not commit adultery. Just the other day, with Pastor Tim, he's flipping through the channels, and this show came up, and they started talking about, we caught the cheaters, wives and husbands cheating on each other. And they caught them, and they were glorifying it. It was like a big thing, the catching of a cheating spouse. And it was a TV show. Now, he flipped through it, but I was like, I don't watch TV. But this seems to be more and more acceptable in our society. You shall not steal, and we understand this, and yet now some states make the laws. You can steal up to a certain amount. I think California is around $900. You can take it for free. Don't worry about it. We won't prosecute you. But I did see one thing. There is some people standing up and trying to fight back a little bit. I saw an article about a store that put up a sign stating, all items in this store start at the price of $900. A store discount will be applied at checkout. And I thought, wow, somebody's actually starting to think of how we can overcome these laws of people being allowed to break God's law. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. We see all that. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of unrighteousness. Suppress that truth. They push it down so they can live in their sin. We know the hearts of all men are wicked, so they do suppress the knowledge of God. In verse 19, he goes on to say, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Now, this is not the truth of God that we learn from the Bible through Jesus and that. We suppress that also. This is the truth, the knowledge of God within our own conscience of what is right and wrong. We know what is right and wrong because it is manifest within us. A child, when a toy is taken from them, recognizes that the child who took the toy is wrong. And they'll let you know it. We have a sense of right and wrong, or a moral compass, if you will. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 2, starting in verse 14. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. In the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. God has inscribed his law into our heart and mind and conscience, and we know what is right and what is wrong. That which may be known of God is manifest in them, in us. God has showed it unto us. Paul goes on in verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And that first portion of that shows that God was known ever since the world came into existence. We knew of God just by his creation. In Psalms chapter 19, in verse 1, and I'll read these first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. God speaks to a man in a language of his creation, so that by his creation, we are aware that God exists. Think of the beauty of that sunrise. The sun hitting the clouds and all the different colors you'll see. The purples, the oranges, and then the bright lights of rays coming through different clouds. The same beauty during a sunset at the end of the day. It screams of a creator of God, the beauty, never the same, day after day, always changing just a little bit. A painting an artist does screams of an artist to do the painting. God has revealed himself in his creation from the founding of the earth. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 21 reads, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth?" His handiwork, the very existence of the heavens, is a proclamation of God's invisible attributes, his eternal power, and his divine nature. Later in Isaiah, same chapter 40, verse 26, it says, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by name. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing." And he goes on, "Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they were without excuse." His eternal power and Godhead, implying that the universe exhibits his power for all of us to see, his omnipotence. This power existed from eternity. He's always had it. Now he puts it on display in his creation, and he created us to touch it, to see it, to hear it. So we are created and we have no excuse. He gave us clear evidence of his existence. A fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." The invisible things of him are revealed in nature, because that when they knew God, they were without excuse, because God revealed it to them. He goes on in verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Because they had knowledge of God and the means to know what was right, and that they knew God, and that new in the Strong's defined as be aware, have knowledge, a perceived understanding. They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. And we know they became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. We know that it's also written that the hearts of men are wicked. We suppress the knowledge of God. To glorify him as God is to glorify him only. For there cannot be but one true and living God. But they did not so glorify him, for they set up a multitude of other deities to worship. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, "Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." To glorify him as God and to worship him in spirit, but they made images of him. Not to glorify God as God is in effect to glorify him at all. They were simply idol worshiping. Glorifying the creation and not the creator. They were not thankful in particular for the things God created for us to discover, that showed himself to us. And you think about this. You're walking through a path or a field, path through the forest or a field, and you're walking along and you're seeing the beautiful trees and the different leaves, every leaf different. A rabbit may be hopping along. A butterfly flying by. Or a flower, or a mushroom if you're